Broadcasting live from Denker's studio on Library Square, this is KCPW 88.3 Salt Lake City. Welcome to Downtown SLC with Jason Mathis. Although that's kind of a lie because Jason Mathis is vacationing in Boston this week. So instead, most of his friends turned him down, and in a last-ditch effort to fill this radio time, he asked me, Christian Anderson, Executive Director of the Utah Museum of Contemporary Art, to fill in his stead. So Jason is a long-term friend, and those listeners who tune in weekly will know that I've been a multiple guest and one-time host of this show in the past. I am a two-timer, and wait, that didn't sound that did not sound exactly right. I have twice done this, but every Lone Ranger needs his Tonto. And so I have brought with me the Vice President of the Utah Museum of Contemporary Art and creative producer of Three Irons, young Mr. Stephen Labrum, to help me fill some airtime. How are you doing, Stephen?
Greetings, public radio listeners.
So, Jason asked that we talk about like debt currency swaps and the Syrian refugee crisis. Mm-hmm. However, I'm going to say that we don't know anything about that, and I would rather steer the conversation towards arts and culture in our beautiful downtown core.
Which happens to be my favorite place. I just referringly love it as the CBD.
The CBD, what does that stand for? Isn't that a place you go to get your prescriptions filled?
Indeed, the CBD is the Central Business District. In fact, I like to claim that I live in the CBD, but really I'm in no CBD, which is just north of the CBD. It's a little area that I've sectioned off to try and claim that I live downtown. But really, there are technically only like 10,000 actual residents of downtown. I think that number is doubling soon. For those of us who live in the Avenues and Capitol Hill area, we like to consider ourselves downtown people too. But we're not the true downtownies. The true downtownies have big loft doors on their abandoned warehouses and
big
such.
Big brass knockers.
Yes.
On their doors, right?
Yes, nice. Indeed, sir.
So 10,000 people, that doesn't sound like a lot. It sounds to me like downtown's a pretty sleepy place. That, you know, why would I go there when I can go to, say, Fashion Place Mall in Draper or Sandy?
Well, that is a great question that we're going to leave for next week's broadcast. Today, we're going to talk about something really interesting. The boundaries, the technical boundaries of the CBD. Well, here's the thing that I grew up in Sandy, Christian,
I'm
as
sorry
you well
to hear
know.
That.
And my first home was in Lehigh, and I lived some farmland in Lehigh. And then I was living in Draper. And in all of those areas that I lived, which I had a wonderful childhood and a wonderful first marriage, if my first wife is listening to this radio broadcast today.
I understand that she and if is my second an avid listener.
If my second wife's listening to this radio broadcast, it was the worst marriage ever, and it's been topped tremendously by the last wonderful 5 years of my life. But nevertheless, I always wanted to, as a suburbanite, to live somewhere that was a little more urban. And in my mind, living somewhere urban was big, tall buildings and people selling hot dogs on the corner. And I think more importantly, the ability to walk to things, like activities and a density of things to do.
So a hot dog vendor, I think you just basically described you wanted to live on the set of West Side Story.
It was either that or Sesame Street.
Were there people snapping?
There were dolls that would talk to you. It sounded like a very romantic ideal.
I think you're back to your first marriage again. So is the Central Business District a fun
place? I don't feel like I finished my story. I feel like you're just changing the subject. The whole point of the story, I'll just end the story quickly. The end of the story is I married a woman who is who'd only lived in Washington, D.C., Manhattan, and San Francisco. And we were dating long distance, and she came out to Draper and very lovingly said one day to me, honey, is there somewhere I can walk to go, you know, walk and go get some food or walk somewhere? And there were plenty of hiking trails and things out there in Draper, but there wasn't a community to walk in. It's not a walking community per se.
Can't you walk to the ward steakhouse?
Well, you could walk, but what she wanted was the energy of humanity walking and living together. And at that point, we ended up moving downtown. And I have loved it. I haven't looked back. It took me a while, frankly, to get used to panhandlers at every corner. It took me a while to get used to paying for parking and things like that. But what I've learned over time is that I don't drive as often, and I actually walk places. I don't pay for parking as a result. And I actually have time to see the world around me and interact with people in a way that you don't when you leave your house, into your garage, into your car, to go to your next destination, to get out of your car and get into that next place. My story is now over.
So, producer Emily, I have a quick question for you. Do you just work downtown, or do you also live downtown?
Well, by Steven's standards, I'm up in the Avs. So, yeah, I live downtown. And the walkability factor is important, because I don't have a car. So I need to be able to walk to eat, basically.
So, like our primitive ancestors, we had to be able to hunt and move to eat. But so I'm going to go out on a limb, and you seem like you would fall into the millennial category. Is that true?
That's a fair description. Is this an interview about me now?
Notice how he deflects his interviews to others. We'll talk about him in a second.
Yeah, because it's so hard to get me to talk about myself. No, I'm just saying, like, what's attractive in terms of the cultural amenities downtown that when you are thinking about choosing a place as a person that will be determining my fate and Steven's fate as we get older, the wrongs that we have visited on your generation by electing bad people will come back to haunt us because you will punish us. What brought you to the cultural amenities of downtown as a resident?
I moved here from Layton to study at the University of Utah.
Notice how she pronounced
see,
it
See, but Layton. I added my T back in once I moved to the big city because I thought it was a posh thing to do.
But, she's so big city.
I think the walkability factor is the biggest thing. In Layton, you need to drive everywhere, you know, to get to the movies or to get to the grocery store. In Salt Lake, you live where everything is. So you
and
can
do
just
you green bike there. Sometimes? Or have you been known to grab
a
green bike?
I have green biked, but I mostly walk. I also utilize public transit, which is
free
mostly
downtown.
Reliable and free downtown. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy traveling that way.
Well, I don't think everyone takes the time to figure out how much car ownership actually costs them. It's an ideal of American society to own a car, or sometimes own two or three in a family. But the cost of car ownership as a percentage of how much time you're actually working, I challenge our radio listeners to sit down at their next budgetary meeting with their family and calculate out the cost of car ownership and then figure out how many days of work you actually work a month just to pay for the car that gets you to work.
You know what? I challenge most of our listeners, since they are Americans, to actually have a family budgetary meeting. Let's start there, because I think that, you know, the average American is carrying something like 8 months worth of direct salary just in debt, and that doesn't even include their...
If you'd like to fact check that, send your tweet to @downtownSLC. Also, any complaints about this radio show this week, you can also send to @downtownSLC.
Is that the Downtown Alliance Twitter?
That is the Downtown Alliance Twitter. Nice. If you have any compliments, you can send it to Christian and Mai's Twitter account, which is
@SLC Culture.
Very good.
So what, Stephen, is the number one cultural amenity of the downtown core?
The number one cultural amenity of the downtown core, in my opinion, is the density of restaurants and entertainment options all so close together.
So the dense Salt Lakers.
Yes. Okay. All right. You're from out of town, fella. Those are fighting words in these parts.
Wait.
Easy.
Even from downtown?
He's not from downtown.
I'm not from downtown. I live in the Sugar House.
Oh. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, one of those.
Yeah, you know, one of those.
I'm not even sure how you got on this show, frankly.
Bribery. Mm-hmm. Bribery. That's how we get everything done, right?
Indeed.
It's an
American classic.
I went to my local bishop. He went to his stake president. Then he went to his mission president and came back down through the senior advisor of singles couples counseling. And then I got a...
Wow. If he would have said from the singles ward at the end of that, we would have known he was fully matriculated. You had the storyline pretty good there.
Well, my across the street neighbor is he's the counselor of my area, my ward.
Ward.
Yeah.
Very good, sir. Good use.
Yeah. And a lovely man. And we shop at Utah Woolen Mills together. Well, not together, but we sometimes bump into each other at Utah Woolen Mills. But before I get grilled on my shopping with my local counselor for my local ward, we are going to take a break to bring you some awesome information, and then we'll be back. Welcome back to Downtown SLC with Jason Mathis. Filling in this week is my lovely self, Christian Anderson, the executive director.
And my lovely self, Oh, sorry. It's not, you didn't cue me in.
I did not cue you
in. Cue me in with a 3-2-1. Go ahead. Try again.
Thank you. Is my lovely self, Christian Anderson, the executive director of the Utah Museum of Contemporary Art, and...
Emily Means, producer of Downtown SLC, and...
We have some... No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead, go ahead, Stephen.
And Stephen Labrum, also known as the executive director of the Utah Edamame Council. It's also my pedigree, Emily. I don't know if you knew that. Mm-hmm. It's a well-known fact that I am the final I'm the final sprout between bean and no bean in this town.
See, I always think of you as a has-been. Hey. Hey, well.
Do you have any sound effects on that border there? Like a little something like that. Okay.
Yeah.
Now is the segment where we air our grievances against other cities and anywhere that's outside of the CBD, right?
Yeah, that's true. Screw you, Santa Fe.
No, other Utah cities.
Oh.
Like Sandy. I've got a beef to pick with Sandy.
I think Sandy's in our listening cone.
They can hear us?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
How about, is there a place called Monroe?
There is a place called Monroe.
That's about all I got to Delta.
Oh, yeah, Delta. They're all high and mighty with their lake and their power plant. Huh. Harumph, I say.
And to St. George with their white golfing shoes and old people.
Oh, St. George and your weather. I'm tired of it. I've heard all about it. Ooh, the Red Rocks. Come to downtown Salt Lake City. I'll show you some Red Rocks.
In fact, we have Red Rock Brewery.
That's true. Red Rock Brewery.
It's right on 2nd West. You can go get a lovely pint of beer for an undisclosed price.
That's right.
I would never mention what it would cost to get a beer.
Never. Not in this town.
But it's a deal. How much do you think it would cost in German?
In German? Drei Mark.
Well, they don't have marks anymore. They have euros.
Oh, it's been a while since I've been to Germany.
So, Stephen, you and I have been working on a project along with Jesse Dean from the Downtown Alliance and other key folk to mm-hmm. throw one of Salt Lake City's best parties.
I would say it is the finest party that gets thrown in this town in terms of the galas of the summer. It is. We are now coming into gala season.
Do you say gala or gala?
We're going to go ahead and for a tiebreaker. Emily, is it gala or gala?
I actually like to say gala.
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 Ooh, gala.
All right.
I'm a Layton girl.
Layton girl. Gala. Okay, there's a third pronunciation.
I'm just going to stick with gala because it comes most naturally to me.
So we are having the best gala.
Yes. How can you make such a bold claim, the best gala? There are a lot of gala listeners out there that are thinking, my gala is pretty fantastic.
Well, does their gala have a sideshow theme? Will it have aerialists and fire eaters? Will it have tasty nibblies, including a two-headed fish?
Will it have an open bar with actual decent drinks?
Well, ours will.
Ours will.
I say no to... Who should we pick? See, I want to pick on a fictitious.
But they're all 501c3s.
I say harumph to KCPW's gala.
Yes, harumph. The KCPW gala is the most boring gala in town.
Isn't the KCPW gala basically Pledge Week?
That's true.
Every week.
No, there's still an open bar, though.
Just go to the front door, ask for Roger. I'd say, yes. Hey, Roger, I hear you're pouring out some High West back at your desk.
For a $100 pledge, anyone who calls in the next 10 minutes gets a long pour.
I'm almost positive that's illegal. This is what you call sarcasm, and so we are going to get by on that.
Yes, okay. Dear Senator Valentine, that was all sarcasm, right?
Sarcasm.
But the real truth of it is, when we arrange our gala for the Utah Museum of Contemporary Art, the goal that we have in mind is obviously fundraising, and we have some fantastic opportunities to do that, including 30 pieces of donated art from contemporary artists in Salt Lake City, some of the finest artists that Utah really has to offer these days.
We even have national artists.
We do. We do have very nationally recognized artists as well. Some of these are folks that, if you've been to the museum lately, you'll have seen their work. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. Great silent auction. But really the experience, because we all hate going to 80 galas per summer, we wanted to throw a party that people would actually want to go to. And it's a lot of fun. It is. This one's going to be a lot of fun, too. And it's going to be held at the...
It's going to be held at the fairgrounds in the Promontory Building on June 3rd. Information about tickets can be found at www.utahmoca.org.
Utahmocagala.org.
Well, you could go to UtahMochaGala.org, or you could go to the website about the organization and go that way, too.
Or you could go to bit.ly/563GHYT.
8675309JENNY.
Yes.
Don't change your number.
Nope.
I didn't think you'd mind.
Okay.
8675. For the price of a dime, yeah. I can always talk to you.
The point of this thing is, if you're looking for like a really fun experience, a fun date, a fun reason to come downtown, and to hang out with a bunch of people that are going to be having a great time, and there may be bearded ladies, you're going to want to go to this gala. It's a good gala.
Gala. There may be bearded ladies?
I can't make any promises. I mean, they only have a little time to grow their beards out at this point.
Yes, but are they local bearded ladies?
Sheesh.
They're from Layton. I hear rumor that they have bearded ladies up in Layton. I mean, it's a small sample size of late. Is it? Would it be Laytonian? Is someone from Layton a Laytonian?
No, Laytonian.
Laytonite?
It's actually hard to say. What do Laytonians call themselves?
I don't know. I lived in Salt Lake for 5 years. Now.
You've just forgotten.
I think they call themselves bearded ladies.
It's hard for her to go home for Thanksgiving. She puts a veil on to go back.
Speaking of veils, yes. I understand that there's something interesting coming up at the Utah Museum of Contemporary Art that has to do with veils.
That was the most amazing segue I've ever heard you pronounce, Christian. So I'm just going to cherish this moment with some applause while we self-serve ourselves by talking about the August programming at the museum. And in all fairness to Christian, as he was teeing that one up, we have something really neat happening. We have not only a contemporary Saudi exhibit coming that are all going to be artists from Saudi Arabia and their work that's going to be displayed at the museum, but we also have a woman artist from Saudi Arabia who's going to be coming and spending 2 months in Utah to do an artist in residence program. Tell us more about that, Christian.
Well, her name is Belkis, and she is a young lady from Riyadh. She is also the national Saudi hula hooping champion, so she does everything from complex installations to performance-based art to paintings. We're hoping that we can do a glow-in-the-dark hula hoop workshop. We are hoping that maybe we'll be able to find someone who might want to commission one of her murals. So she's really on the forefront of women's rights in Saudi Arabia and sort of sticking it to the man.
Well, yes, and I would like to solicit right now to all of the fine radio listeners, if you are a hula hooping champion and you would like to be involved in a hula hoop cultural exchange, now would be the way that you would get in touch with us would be through our Twitter handle.
At SLC Culture.
Yes, at SLC Culture.
Yes.
Well, you left like a weird intonation at the end of that, like there was something I was supposed to add on.
At SLC Culture?
At SLC Culture.
At SLC.
Period.
Culture.
So if you think you've got some hula hooping chops and you want to take on the Saudi Arabian hula hooping champion, there's probably going to be a hula off or two happening this fall.
A hula off. A hula hoedown.
A hula hoedown. And that's just the kind of fun. I mean,
a hula nanny.
Would you have that in Layton with just like a random hula hooping championship? I mean, those are you need to speak into the microphone, Emily. The radio listeners can't hear you when you just shake your head.
Where would we have that in Layton? One of two movie theaters, perhaps? At one of three
strip
high
malls?
Schools?
Do you have a Red Lobster or a Chili's?
Both.
All right. I think you'd have the semifinals at one and the finals at another. I am going to say that because of the cheddar biscuits, you have your final at Red Lobster.
Biscuits. I've got to admit, I've had some good memories at the Red Lobster. Just none in the last 10 years. Hashtag eat at Red Lobster.
So if you want information about either UMOCA's gala or the upcoming programming at the Saudi Arabian exhibition called Cities of Salt, you can go to www.utahmoca.org, where you can find all the information. And then there's also a drop-down link to go to the gala if you want to. Or you can go to www.utahmocagala.org, and you can find tickets there, which are at a whole variety of costs. I can't put a specific number on it because how do you value a unforgettable evening, Stephen? Priceless.
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 Indeed. And I'm really looking forward to it. I'm going to be there. I'm going to have a good time.
I'm
going to
wager you're wearing a top hat.
The odds are in high favor of my top hat wearing.
All right, we're on our last minute. Stephen, if you were to tell people to visit one restaurant and or drinking establishment in the downtown CBD, where should they go?
For my favorite beverage of downtown, and it has been now for 2 years running, it's the Siren at Undercurrent. For my favorite dinner spot these days, I really love Tekashi.
Mm. You know, and I would say if you're going to go out on a date night, go to HSL. And then I would also say Undercurrent, but I would say ask him for a dirty Aquavit martini. Well, Emily, thank you so much for taking care of us this afternoon. Jason, we did you proud. You're going to have the highest listenership you ever had. Roger, we miss you. Steven, thanks for taking your afternoon out. Jim DeBacchus, you're somewhere in the aisle. I don't know where you are. And God save the Queen.